Welcome back to Overdunk, everybody, your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Zoinks. I am joined, as always, by Bridget, but instead of Dupesnax tonight, we have a very special guest, the man, the myth, the legend, the Spanish Mammut, as I used to call him, as well as a man who has been no-lifing China VODs. It is Gek Okami joining the show tonight. Gek, what is going on, man? How have you been these last few months? It's been too long since you've been on the show, so how have you been, Gek?
I've been okay. I took a break off the season, but I'm back. I got a good final run at regionals.
Yeah,
and it was just warm up for next season.
Okay,
so I'm ready to. I'm back and I'm ready to stay and do a good next season.
Awesome. The prize money and then a good run as well. That was sick.
That does help.
Loved
yes.
Watching. Yeah, That was a sweet run. I was really fun to watch your team. Plus, you played Wigglytuff, so it was kind of hype.
I did.
Awesome. Bridget, how have you been this whole last week?
I've been pretty good. Honestly, nothing too crazy. Playing a little bit of Unite and a lot of HOK.
Right, yeah.
Still some Unite.
Yeah.
Still some Unite.
You and I have been running it down in HOK a little bit. We've been...
A little bit.
Kind of getting farmed, but we're working on it. We're working
you
on
know?
It. You know, we're still trying our best. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. But Bridget, you're also going to be going to Pokemon Go Fest in New York this coming weekend, right?
I am. I will be at Go Fest. I'm very excited.
Very, very cool. Have you ever been to a Pokemon Go Fest before?
I've never been to a Pokemon Go event. I've been to like unofficial ones in the old city I lived in. We would do kind of big stuff for the global event.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Never like an actual sanctioned Go Fest event. So I'm really excited. And I've never been to New York. So.
Oh, sick. Okay.
It'll be crazy.
That sounds awesome. We'll definitely need your recap on next episode of how GoFest went down.
Yes.
All the Unite events that were going on there, of course, we'll need to hear the breakdown of everything that's happening. quick housekeeping before we actually get into the main topic of the podcast today, which I don't know if I've said since hitting the record button, but the main topic of today's podcast, if you haven't guessed from the title, we are going to be deep diving into everything we know, and by that I mean everything Gek Okami knows about the China version or the current beta that is released in China for Pokemon Unite. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be breaking down basically everything that we can find on VODs and Bilibili streams and all that kind of stuff. But in terms of the podcast, the episode, we're sorry, been a little bit delayed on uploads. It's just like it was a little bit of a mishap in our flow between Dusax and I for getting some stuff set up. So we'll be caught up on the feed very, very soon. That aside, if you're watching this live on Twitch, make sure to look forward to this Friday where the World's Group Draw Show is going to be happening. I am personally very excited for that. They had Spraggles and Wonderchef out in the studio that we did a lot of the regional broadcasts from. They did the random group draw. I specifically asked Jake to not tell me the groups because I want to live react to that video if possible. So tune in potentially here on the Unite Mics channel to maybe a co-stream. It's a very big maybe, but at least tune in on Friday. And then next week's episode, we'll be talking all about Worlds groups, which I'm super excited because that's going to be a lot of fun and a good talking point. But all that out of the way, today we are talking all about the China version of the game. Now, Gek, you are the resident, well, Wigglytuff expert, but of course, other topics as well. You are known to be proficient in. You have been watching a lot of these videos, very excited about this version of the game. Overall, yeah, I mean, like, obviously your wealth and knowledge, we'll be getting into a few of the specifics, but overall, how you feeling about the China version of the game? Is it sick? Is it worrying? Are you pumped for it? Are you like, I don't know about this? What are your general vibes going towards this new version of the game?
So, my personal vibes, community vibes have been very hit or miss.
Okay.
Because I've talked to a lot of people about it.
Mm-hmm.
Some are like, the game's too different. It doesn't look as serious. Looks like too messy.
Okay.
Or it's like, or on the complete different side of the spectrum of, we're never going to get it. You know how many games have a different version in China?
Yeah.
I will keep my hopes up. But when it comes to my actual opinion, I think it's very good. But to quote actually Spraggles on one of his videos, I don't know if it's just like that thirst for new content. It's like just because it's new, I'm saying it's good. right? Just because it's new and we've been wanting something new for a while, because Theia Skyrunions has been here for 2 years. From season, like, from year 2 to year 3, not much changed, besides new releases. But when I look at this game, I like it. Because it's, even though it's the same map as we already played, Remote Stadium, it has a lot of good changes, in my opinion.
Cool.
Like, quality of light changes that we're going to hit later. And even the fast pace, right? Which I think it's very common for Chinese MOBAs to have this sort of pacing. And if you... Even when you look at League of Legends and you look at LPLs, which is China's league, way of playing the game is also a lot more aggressive. And this game's very non-stop, always objectives, always 5v5 fighting. I personally am down for it because I've been hating the tank treatment we've been getting this last season, where the tank just stays on bot lane for 8 minutes until, oh, it's Ray, come play.
I'm not
very big fan of that. Okay. So anything faster paced, I'm actually down for. And taking away the time restrictment is the only thing I'm very iffy about, because even though I do like it, it's I think was a very nuanced aspect of Unite that made it different from other MOBAs, where it's actually about the team that doesn't crumble to the pressure of a clock ticking down. I think was a very nice touch on this take of a MOBA, and now we're going to lose it, but we get another take, which is very good. But overall, I'm very positive. I like it a lot, and most of the things are positive. And if I had to choose between getting nothing or the whole thing, I would take the whole thing without a doubt.
Okay. So you had those two options. And who knows? Maybe we'll get none of it. Maybe we'll get all of it. Maybe we'll get something in the middle. That's a good point. But between those two ends of the spectrum, we take all of it. I think I tend to agree. Bridget, how about you? I know you haven't seen as much as Gekka, obviously. No one has. I know you haven't been watching as much. But how about you? Just general vibes, seeing some of the games, seeing some tournament play, seeing some streams. What are your thoughts on the general vibe spectrum?
I would definitely agree. I feel like I like it, but I'm not sure if I like it just because it's a change and something new, or if it would actually be something I'd enjoy. I feel like I would. I feel like they wouldn't want to change the game so much that it scares away what is the player base.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it's pretty exciting, to be honest, especially to see, like, the quantity. It feels like there's a lot
there
in
is.
Here. So that is what I feel like is, like, inherently exciting.
It's
it feels like a lot more. Yeah. Especially, yeah, the items and the... almost everything, from what I understand.
Yeah, there has been kind of a facelift on every aspect of the game. And big changes, honestly... but it doesn't feel like they took away a lot. Like, it feels like there's just kind of the base we have now, and then just everything added for the most part. So, Gek, before we get into some of the specific details we're going to go for, I'm just going to give a kind of a quick overview, especially to audio listeners, about what overall in a game of Unite has changed so much that you would expect. For one, the biggest change, of course, like you already mentioned, the timer of 10 minutes is gone, and it is now replaced with basically a finish line. If you score 500 points or more, you are able to win the game. This, of course, is done by breaking enemy goal zones and scoring in the home goal zone. And much to the demise, maybe, of this podcast's name, you can no longer overdunk, which is something that I'm lamenting and also trying to figure out how to fix. I don't know, maybe one day we'll get it. So that's the biggest change. The second change is that objectives have been almost entirely reworked. Now, instead of a Reggie spawning on the top and bottom side, instead, the Reggies have been kind of shrunk down and become almost like Indeedee spawns a couple of times. However, the big changes for major objectives is that a few major objectives spawn throughout the timer of a match in the middle of the map, kind of where a mid-B spawn, including Reggie Aleki, Reggie Drago, Avalug, all having very different game enhancing effects. A Rotom will spawn in the top and bottom path at 1 minute, and when you knock out a Rotom, it'll walk towards enemy goals, and then make them defenseless, just like kind of old school Rotom, except spawning in a brand new place. And then the biggest change is Zapdos is back at 8 minutes. Double time goal scoring is gone. For the most part, there's some caveats there, but when you knock out Zapdos, it'll walk towards enemy ghoul zones, shoot the ghoul zones to make them defenseless, not squirt it itself, but will keep doing so until it is knocked out. Every time a Zapdos is knocked out, a new one will respawn in 15 seconds after the last one was KO'd. This does mean that the timer is gone and the match will go on until someone has scored 500 points. However, from what I've seen, the matches tend to go slightly longer than 10 minutes, but not too longer. I'm curious what your thoughts are on that, Gek. But basically, that is the general changes to gameplay. Now, Bridget, before we jump into Gek's information, is there anything in that that, like, piqued a question for your brain? Because you're kind of our viewer perspective right now. A lot of people listening and watching this podcast have not seen very much of the China footage. So any questions you have, like, okay, so how does that work then?
Yeah, so... God, there's so many...
I know!
So the Regis are, like, Ndidis, so they don't give you...
So, Regi Steel and Regi Rock both give a buff. There's no Regi Ice as far as I can tell. Am I right on that, Gek?
So, for the footage you've been seeing on the tournament, there was no Regi Ice, but they did add Regi Ice this last this last beta.
Okay, so crazy if they cut the top, him.
There's two Regi Steels bot lane on the further bottom side edges of the lane, and top lane where the Balto is currently. So on the middle one, the contested farm spot, it could be either Regirock or Regice.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so either a defense or a healing buff. Now, to answer your question, it does still give a buff. I believe the same one that the game gives. I don't know if the stats are the same, but same stats too. Interesting. But it only gives it to the Pokemon that knocks it out, not an entire team-wide buff. So basically a shrinking down of these objectives, but it is now a pretty important, especially in the top lane, a very important contestable objective. That's very interesting. Okay, cool. All right, Gek, start talking to us about some of the changes in the game. What are the ones that come to mind when you first think about it?
So the one of the first changes is clearly the win con, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now we actually win through scoring.
Yes.
We already won through scoring, but when we actually look and boil it down, we actually are playing for that last fight. Mm-hmm. More often than not, we're playing for that last fight. And actually, using the prompt you just pulled off on the screen, we can look at the top side of the screenshot here, and the players can actually see the points as they're playing.
Oh yeah,
so
good point.
We can see the points. So there's no more people guessing the points or trying to count them out and being slightly off. Or actually, some of the most memorable competitive matches has been when both teams think they're ahead, and neither team know who's ahead by like 10 points. So that part's gone, I guess.
Gonna be kind of
which
bizarre.
Was very fun.
No more math game. No,
yeah, but now we actually have the points splattered on top, and I've had some people say, I don't like this change, it was a skillful part of the game. Well, the reason we need to see the points in the in the Shinies version is because of that wheel you're seeing on the left side of your screen.
Yes.
Which is, I don't know what to call it, but I'm going to use Zoink's words, it's like power-ups you get throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
So here he already has three, he has two to select. So when you start the game, right off, you get to select one, which you can see was like the purple hexagon he shows. So right off the bat, you choose one, you get out of three to select from. And then once your team reaches a total score of 50, you get to select another one. And so far, so forth, it's at the beginning of the game, 50 points, 100 points, 200 points, and 350 points.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a total of five power-ups.
Yeah.
As your team scores. These power-ups goes all the way from combat modifiers to way to acquire points, way to acquire XP, conditional stuff like speed outside of battle, or neutral mobs like wild Pokemon give you more points, or your next attack on a wild mon gives more damage, or even an effect that rezzes you. Basically, if you were gonna die, you get a big chunk of health regen, for example.
Yeah, like basically a focus band on an upgrade.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've seen some other interesting ones. I saw is basically gives you a second charge of your battle item. Was one that I thought was really interesting.
Yes.
There's one that actually allows you to respawn quicker and recall to base quicker as well. But just this is a tough one for just audio listeners because we're gonna be bringing up a lot of examples of video and photo and stuff. So check us out on YouTube if you are just an audio listener. It might be the best way to listen to this episode. But just for audio listeners, like we mentioned, you get these upgrades at 50, 100, at zero, the start of the game, 50. 100, 200, and 350 points. It's denoted by a little wheel on the left-hand side, and each time you hit one of those thresholds, you get a choice of three different upgrades. Now, this is the team's collective score, so it's not an individual score. Once your team reaches 50 points, everybody on your team gets that choice of their second upgrade, and so on and so forth throughout the match. So, it does incentivize you to score early to get your upgrades faster than the enemy team, but also, this game is so objective focused that I don't think exactly. You could just force a ton of scores. But yeah, we'll probably talk more about the augments or power-ups that I called them a little bit more in the show because there's so many to talk about. But Bridget, thoughts on the upgrades, on the upgrade wheel?
I really like it. It's just, it adds just another like kind of fun complexity and like layer to the game. Mm-hmm. I do really like it, and the scoring mechanic, I mean, like you guys said, like we've already won by scoring, but yeah, see, it's just crazy seeing being able to see the points. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is a big
like
switch,
planning around it. I don't know.
Yeah, that really is a cool. Really big switch.
This way makes it feel like it's actually about scoring. It's not you win right. Through scoring. The game's actually about scoring.
Yeah, because our game right now, right, it's about scoring, but it's also you win team fights and then you score. Like, that's kind of the actual play pattern of Unite as it is. But now it does feel like, okay, you better be scoring after these fights or otherwise we're going to be falling behind, so.
Right.
Yeah, because there's some examples on the like the competitive video you guys made the video for on your channel,
mm-hmm.
where a team gets is playing slower than the other team, and then you look at the augment table they actually have on broadcast, and you're like, well, one team has four power-ups and the other team has one power-up.
Right.
Right. So it's kind of snowballing as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is so interesting. I will say, I know this is literally the first... Well, we've kind of talked about two changes right now. We've talked about the score, the end goal being different, the points being visible, and now the score upgrades. I will say, I think the score upgrades are my favorite part of the entire version. I think this is the most interesting thing to me. I love this concept. Now, I will say, I messaged, I think it was Bridget and Who's Next earlier last week, because I was watching someone do a video of this, or play a game of Ranked, I believe, playing the China beta, and I screen-capped and Google translated every single one of the score upgrades they got. And I was like, oh, these are probably just every single one that you get. And now I'm looking at this screenshot that Gek has given us, and they are three different upgrades. That they are so possible. So
this,
we don't know
this
exactly
also helps with replayability, right? Because
mm-hmm.
Every game can be different because you get different upgrades on your Pokemon, right?
Right. Do we know how, right? Like why you get different upgrades in some games?
So I've seen the emblem page. Okay. Like the way emblems work are completely different. It's not stat based. It's something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Also, shout out to Sherry on YouTube because I took some of the screenshots from their YouTube channel. As you can see here, and from what they explained on their stream, it's like you collect, so as you, where you can see the Clef and the Clefairy, you have like five emblems you collect, you get those five emblems, you get access to that one power-up in-game, right?
Interesting.
Now,
okay.
Thing is, as you can see here, there's six of them, but once you get in-game, you can only choose off three. So I still don't know how that makes it. I don't know if that just widens the pool of availability you have, which sounds weird, because then I can just not unlock the bad ones and just have the good ones. So
maybe
this is very uncertain.
Maybe you can only fit so many emblems to the point where you can fill up three of these sections. So then it's like these three themes of upgrades, because they look like defense, moving, scoring, attacking, healing, and I don't know what the lightning one is. Maybe
all of these icons I've only seen on the 350 power up.
Oh, you've only seen these icons on the 350.
For example, this lightning bolt is almost how a static shift works in League of Legends.
Okay. Again, audio listeners, please just watch on YouTube. This is impossible to explain. But basically, we're talking about now emblems in this game, which already I'm seeing Electivire on screen. So Gen 4 emblem, very cool. But the emblem screen, totally different. Looks like a case that you're filling up, and if you fill up one set, you highlight an icon in the middle. There are six icons currently. This screenshot, Cherry, looks like they just have the starters filled in, which is a star with a heart in the center. Very Care Bears-esque. I don't know what it does. It's neat. I'm cool. We're not too sure on emblems. I think that's one area where pretty tough to gain information from, but
which we also unsure on the power-ups, but we do know they have some correlation somewhere in there.
On our board with red string detective style pulled up, we're like, but there is a connection.
So we can't say the power-ups are fully randomized, because clearly there's a way of somehow like controlling it, I guess. I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
But those two are connected in some way, shape, or form.
Okay. Basically. Okay. Good, good, good. All right. What is the next major gameplay thing that you want to talk about, Gek, outside of scoring, clock, and augments?
If you can go back to the other screenshot, there's actually a lot to unpack on.
Yeah, this is a good screenshot.
Yeah. Exactly. So if we ignore the power-up wheel, we can go back to our bottom right of the screen, where we can actually see that we have this purple icon, where usually the scoring button is.
Yes.
And then we have this circle thing on where usually eject button, X attack, full heal is at. Okay. So this purple indicator, or this purple icon, it's actually the new eject button.
Okay.
And everyone has it by default. So everyone, any character, doesn't matter, has this new purple icon, which is actually the new eject, probably has a new name, I don't know. But it's a new eject. Everyone has eject by default and a second battle item. Or actually, just one battle item.
Right.
Eject just stopped being a battle item just to just be something that's built in the game. So everyone has the blink plus a new battle item. And the Chinese version does come with four new battle items, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
This one being one of them. And the one on the screen is basically freezes everyone in a circle. It slows them down, basically.
Okay.
It's a one-tap slow smoke and not an actual snow smoke, which sometimes stuns, sometimes slows, I don't know, depending on what, but
sure,
basically that's the gist of it.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so interesting. Everybody is eject. Now, one thing I thought was super interesting too, Gek, you were mentioning this. One, you can't use the new eject on goal zones, because that becomes a scoring button.
We share the same button, correct?
Right. Now, the interesting thing is, with this dash, it's like a drag. Like, it's not
it's like
an immediate teleports direction.
It's a direct
comparison.
Yeah,
you picked like...
It's Ralt's teleport.
Okay, great. Everybody's got Ralt's teleport on their score button. Cool. I'm kind
basically
of into it.
Basically.
Fine.
Without the empowered auto attack is the only difference.
Okay.
But the way you use it... So, why does that matter? That basically matters because now you can actually eject without being a set distance. You can make a shorter eject or a longer eject. It's basically you don't need to eject all the way, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
because eject is like a set distance. This, you actually have more control over it. It's going to be very hard for the Switch users to control it, to be fair. But...
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, yeah. Okay, chill.
It's mobile time, baby. Come on.
Whoa, I'm
a Switch player myself, so...
Gek's worried.
That's fine.
I mean, I don't know. Usually, max range eject is always good with Slowbro, but that does make
true.
Some... But sometimes, if I flash forward, right, and my enemy dashes past me, now I'm in this weird scenario because I flashed too much forward, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Right? And now if I can just do the eject to the certain distance I need, I'm not lagging so much behind after that. You know, basically you can select, it's good, possibilities good, always good to have more possibilities.
Yeah.
With our eject.
More control, sick. Okay. Bridget, check in. How we feeling about everybody's got flash on the score button?
It feels crazy, but I mean, I guess if everyone has it, I can't be mad.
Right, that's true. Yeah, even support's
and you
good.
Can't
Isn't that crazy?
you couldn't be like double eject, like you it's just like
No.
one.
There's no
Okay.
eject button.
That's
Yeah.
fine.
There's a similar, well, it's not really that similar. The
But there's
balloon
something
item
worse.
is like
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a
Now everyone,
balloon.
now I can play Gardevoir with eject and balloon.
Yeah.
Balloon, for context, works as a full heal. You get
Okay.
immune to CC, and you get to fly away in safety,
Oh.
basically.
It is kind
I
of
actually,
adorable. You do Mary
yeah.
Poppins your ass out of there. It's pretty funny.
So cute.
So, for example, mages are a lot safer now because they have eject by default, and then they also can get to balloon away or Shedinja Doll or even potion. So you have more flexibility towards that. But with that being said, we can also go eject button X attack Mimikyu, right?
Let's go. Now we're talking.
So yeah, so we can double down on defense, but we can also double down on
Okay.
aggressiveness, you know?
Okay. Sick. Okay, so we just talked about two of the new battle items, the freeze AoE hit, that's similar to slow smoke, and then the balloon escape tool, which is kind of like eject button meets full heal, but slower than both. And then what are the you said there were two more. Do you remember what those are, Jack?
Yes. So there's one that I've never seen being used,
Okay, it's gotta be
but
bad. But
yeah,
okay.
but basically works like power swap on Mr. Mime. Like it's basically you just connect to someone and they keep healing as long as they're in range.
Oh.
So it's
Interesting.
like a
Okay.
support option,
Cool. Yeah, it's
which
like a targetable heal. I that's interesting. Okay.
yeah, but I've yet to see it being played, so I don't know like details. I've just read the tooltip.
Okay,
And
gotcha.
then you have one that is actually being played a lot, because if you look at the games on the LAN they already have, because it's on there's recordings of that. One they use a lot, and I've been watching streams and watching ranked gameplay from the beta. One they use a lot is this shield.
Oh
I
yeah, I
think
saw this.
it translates to spiky shield.
Cool.
So it actually doesn't shield you, I think. No, it
Oh,
doesn't
nice.
shield, like doesn't give a shield. I'm not sure if it is gives damage reduction or resistance. I'm not sure. What I
Okay.
do know is that after you take damage for a couple of seconds, it actually reflects the damage you just taken to the enemy.
Oh wow. Okay.
So it's like the name goes, spiky shield. So there's a lot of melees being used in this version. They just slap that on them, go into enemy, turn it on, and it's like, you're gonna slap me, I'm gonna slap you back, basically, is what
Okay,
the item
good.
says.
Great.
So that's basically, I think those are the four new ones. I haven't seen
Cool.
any other.
Yeah, and remember, this is just a beta, so who knows? On
Exactly.
full release, they might have more. These might have changed, but as of right now, that's what we're looking at. Okay, very interesting. I mean, they seem pretty cool. I personally love the idea of having everybody have an eject button. It just allows you to be way more creative. I'm a huge fan of that change. But awesome. Okay, out of those.
A caveat with everyone has eject button just to scare the Switch players even more. This means that eject button is going to the X button.
Of course.
So I'm going to see a lot of people using the wrong one by mistake if we do end up getting this.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be a bit of a learning curve for sure.
100%.
People are gonna be
Yeah.
hitting Y every
Because
time, like,
we're
whoa!
so used to pressing Y.
Yeah, exactly. It'll take some time to learn, but maybe one day. We'll see.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Bridget, well, actually, Gek, out of those four, which one are you most interested in trying out? Shield, icy spray, balloons, or I forget the last
So
one.
I
Mime
think
swap.
balloons, yeah, I think balloons are probably going to be the most impactful
Okay.
for the way we play the game, but then again, that's not how we play this game, you know? But the one I'm most excited about, of course, the shield, because this fits my tank gameplay, right?
Yeah.
I'm not, unless I just want to balloon in, bro. No one stops me. I just balloon in. I balloon in and then engage. Sounds good to me as
Gek
well.
airdrop sounds sick.
Exactly.
The ODST Pokemon Unite gameplay. I'm
Yeah,
into it.
I just balloon in, no one can stop me.
Okay, so you're a balloon fan. I'm not gonna lie, for my playstyle, having a button that I can press to run it down with shield sounds pretty sick. Bridget, how about you? Out of those four new items, what sound the most interesting to you?
I mean, it's gotta be the balloon.
It's got
it. Sounds like the most fun one.
It also does Spiky look Shield is cool. ridiculous.
Spiky Shield is cool.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too.
The animation purely is swag me, but
it is unbelievably good. Okay, we got way more topics to move through, so let's keep moving. That's battle items. That's some of the controls. Gek, take us to the next one. What's the next gameplay change you want to talk about in this version of the game?
So, for example, something I want to touch on the things you mentioned, mm-hmm. is the objectives. So a lot of objectives, and even when objectives are down, you have mini objectives, basically.
Right.
So mini objectives being these Regis that you share in lane, mm-hmm. so they are contested. They still give the same buff, but to a singular person, like Zox mentioned. What we have on top of that is, on the recent beta, they changed, before it was Dreadnought and Avalugg, now they changed it to Regidrago and Regieleki.
That's right.
Regieleki does the same thing as ours does, but it spawns at the middle of the map, mm-hmm. and will then path into the closest path available. And Regidrago gives you a shield, a team-wide shield, and increases your scoring speed throughout the game.
That's so which, crazy.
Which with this game, being so focused around scores and wanting to hit these thresholds where you get the power-ups, I think that's something that can be very impactful towards the game. Mm-hmm. But the Regieleki paired, if timed, because I think once we get more high-level gameplay of this version of the game, you can time these Regielekis with the lane Rotoms and have a 7v5 push, for example.
Just an onslaught of electric types. That's so sick.
Exactly.
Okay. That's awesome. Okay, so a quick reminder of the objectives. You can see the Rotom here on screen if you're watching on Twitch or on YouTube. The Rotom here, it's worth 10 Aeos energy, but once you knock it out, it will walk towards either side. Now, slight change to the goal zones in this game per path. Instead of taking the same uniform points, top path goes, the first goal zone can hold 60, the second goal zone can hold 80. In the bottom path, the goal zones can hold 80 and 120, I believe, in that order.
Yes.
So basically, top path, you can break a lot quicker, but there's less experience in the bottom path. There's a ton of experience with those two Registeels spawning in and things like that. Now, Gek, you mentioned the Regieleki will walk towards whatever goal zone is closer. Just wanted to explain that to anybody who has not seen it, or Regidrago does the same thing. But basically, it spawns right in the middle of the map, but then it walks up and down. So basically up to the top end of the central area of the map, and then walks straight down to the bottom end. It goes back and forth. Wherever you knock it out, it goes onto that side of the map.
Yeah, it would walk where lane B spawn at 850, mm-hmm, currently exactly. In our version. And then from there, we'll run down the lane. Yeah. If, in a rare occasion, you get a Regieleki and you have broken both tier 1s and tier 2s, it would actually run straight mid.
Just right and, through the jungle. Let's go.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
Directly into the main goal.
Very cool. Okay. I mean,
same with Zapdos, by the way. Zapdos will always do the path top or bot and then run down the lane. Mm-hmm. Or if all goals are broken, it will just run right past everything and just go directly towards mid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Zapdos is one of the most interesting ones, obviously, just because it works so different in our game. It actually works similar to the catch-em mode, if anybody played the like quick mode game in our version of the game.
Exactly.
Which is really interesting. It opens up a lot of things. I talked about this earlier in the episode of how once you knock out a Zapdos, a new one spawns in 15 seconds. But one of the interesting things about the Zapdos is that it doesn't score itself. So in some of the tournament videos I was watching, is the enemy team had vision of all the remaining members. However, they had a Zapdos walking towards them that was scoring in a goal zone of theirs. And they were like, no one's even close enough to score where that Zapdos is making this goal zone defenseless. Let's not knock it out and try to get some like game position before we go back and knock out the Regieleki. So they instead left the Zapdos like making their one goal zone defenseless, ran to the other side and broke a bottom tier goal zone, and then knocked out the Zap, and then tried to take the refight at the new Zap. And I was like, okay, there's some creativity possible here in the end game.
There's no
play.
Time
That's
to catch
fun.
Your breath, basically.
Oh, yeah. No,
as soon as you knock it out, a new one spawning in 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And something worth mentioning when it comes to talking about objectives is death timers.
Yes.
So death timers in this game, for someone that plays our version, are completely crazy. So once you hit, like, the on average, level 11, level 12, level 13, You're gonna start seeing those 30-second death timers, even though you're not, like, 30 kills deep.
Really?
And if, yeah, and once it gets to the Zapdos timer, it's very common to see 45 plus.
Oh, wow.
On the death
that's
timers.
That's so different.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's crazy.
So get ready to drop your phone. Drop your phone. Go drink some water. Come back. You're still dead.
MOBA and, experience incoming. Oh boy.
Yeah. Because the developers actually made an interview. It's fully in Chinese. What? You can find the translation. I actually have the link. I could find the link. I don't have it right now.
Nice.
But the developers did make an interview, and they said most of these things is because. Even though the timer, as you can see on your top left of the screen, if you're watching the live stream or the YouTube video, it goes from zero upwards because there's no time limit.
That's right.
What they trying to achieve with these the power ups or even the death timers is they want the game average time to still be 10 minutes, but not be restrained to 10 minutes.
Okay.
They can be faster. They can be longer, but usually around that ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't increase the death timers, being that the only way to win because of no overdunk and least points per base, because it goes, like Zoink said, 60, 80, 80, 120, you can't possibly win without scoring on main base, right?
Right.
With the short death timers we have in our version, we could literally defend the main goal forever. I die, he spawns, I die, you spawn, I die, he spawns, and we're always defending, right?
Yeah.
So they needed to do this with the death timers. So it's going to be also touch on defending objectives is the pads now actually don't heal you.
Aww.
So we see a whole lot more of recalling.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So they still shield you every 2 seconds, if I'm not mistaken. But they don't heal you anymore. So once you drop low, you actually have to go back to base. And then, so
there
you see a lot more of recalling.
But yeah.
Which also been changed. It's funny you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Citrus berries don't give they don't give as much of a big burst of healing. They give a small burst of healing, and then they heal per second. Just like how Blissey soft boil would.
Okay.
This makes it so
heal over time.
Sitting...
Okay.
Yeah, sitting on a pad just by yourself, it's not good enough for defending. The pad is not healing you. The berries don't give you a burst of health. If you're getting consistently DPS'd, you're going to have to give that goal away. Again, making the focus of the game more about how well can you defend without it just being, I'm on pad, I'm forever safe.
Huh.
You know?
Interesting. Okay. Okay, big change. Also, chat, in a rare moment of math genius, I opened a calculator just now.
Oh, wow.
And I added all the goal zones up. And interestingly, like I said, 60, 80, and 80, 120 equals 340 points. So that is how many points you can score without touching the home goal zone. So very interesting is that you would either have to break a lane and then score in the home goal zone to be able to break into that 350 point. And reminder, 350 is your last upgrade on the like total team score choice of upgrade. So you're going to like to actually get into that threshold, you are going to either need to fully crash a lane and start scoring in home base or break both goal zones and score in home to be able to get to that final point in time, which is going to be that's kind of cool that like the final objective for upgrade is like, you know, a very, very lofty goal. I like that a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And this last power up is substantially stronger than the other ones.
Yeah, some of them are crazy. They're like your next score is like double or instant, and
or you can hold up to 100 points.
Yeah, I love that one. That one's hilarious. I've just watched the Tyranitar walking around with 100 points. I was like,
exactly.
What is happening? But
you have like 60% extra movement speed outside of combat.
Uh-huh.
You have things like once you would be KO'd, instead of being KO'd, you get a big burst of healing, working like Guardian Angel in League of Legends, if people are familiar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Things like that. You have something that makes your points worth double, I think.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of... It's very... Once you hit 350, it's like, okay, we have a significant advantage. We should like get Zapdos, go for a final push, and try to make it work.
Feels like your game to lose if you get those final upgrades, for sure.
Exactly.
Okay.
If you have it, an enemy doesn't.
All right. Interesting. So We've talked about the objectives in the game. We haven't touched on all of them. I guess the last one is Avalug, we didn't talk about, which still happens in the new version, right, Gek?
I do not believe so, no.
Really? Avalug doesn't spawn at 6 minutes anymore? That makes me sad.
No,
I guess Reggie, like, he has a similar effect, but not quite. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, because I think Avalug, it's because of these new values. You could force the Avalug to run top, and Avalug would never... Yeah. So the way Avalug used to work is Avalug just has 100 points flat. If you damage it, the points start going down, just like Reggie, like it would in our version. But what happens with Avalug is the moment he connects to the base, he loses the amount of points needed to destroy that base and keeps going.
Right.
What happens is, because of the tier 2 being 80, he can actually just walk there and keep going to the main base, and was almost as strong, if not stronger, than Zapdos.
Okay.
Which is a little bit of a problem. Look, right. I don't know that. I'm not a dev. But as a player looking at that, that looks a bit too strong.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. I mean, it was a team effort to knock out an Avalug. Like, the amount of HP it had was kind of ridiculous. Exactly. So, okay. All right, fine. I'm okay with the nerf. I was excited to see Avalug in the game again. It's a Pokemon
might
that I
might still make it back, because
so.
Like, they keep taking things in, putting things back in.
Yeah,
and
it's
out,
clearly
so.
A testing phase for them. That's true. Okay,
yeah, exactly.
Cool. So objectives, of course, changing a ton. We didn't talk about the Rotoms too much, but they spawn at 1 minute, and then from what I could tell, okay, correct me if I'm wrong,
every minute
after that. Yeah, so a Rotom will just keep spawning in. That includes when it hits 8 minutes and the time changes. There's no double scoring period, but Rotoms will just continue to spawn in. So a constant mini objective that you can threaten to make Golzone's defenseless by knocking out, and they walked in the lane.
Which
again, Rotoms
makes...
work similar to our quick modes that we have now.
It makes competitive much more interesting, in my opinion.
Yeah,
because
sure.
It's not a death ball to Zapdos, because there's two Rotoms on the side of the map,
uh-huh,
and the Zapdos in the middle. If you only have your main base, I can literally ignore Zapdos, take both Rotoms, and now you're getting pushed from two angles.
Yeah.
Okay, you got Zapdos, but I got two Rotoms, right? So like, the it's like,
take
okay,
that.
You didn't win. Right.
Take
what I like that. The most, yeah. What I like the most about this version of the game, like a big, actually going back to the first question you asked me, is the game doesn't boil down to the last 5v5.
That is the biggest thing, for sure. Totally agree.
Exactly, because we've seen games go. You have three Zapdos done. Game still didn't go over. You have teams fighting with Zapdos at 1 HP, and be like, whatever. I'm not gonna go for the flip because the flip doesn't win me the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like the actual game wins me the game, not the flip.
True.
So I do like that aspect a lot.
I'm totally with you, Bridget. How do you feel about that specific vibe?
Yeah, I love anything that makes, well, Ray less of a flip, but I guess Zapdos. I don't even know.
Sure.
Whatever.
Who knows?
All
Maybe it'll
guys.
Be Rayquaza by the time yeah. The next beta rolls around. Who knows? But yeah,
could also be a complete different map, and they're just using this one as placeholder.
Yeah, oh my goodness, can you imagine?
Stop, that'd be awesome.
There's no way they put all this work into remote and not... Well, man, maybe, though. Oh my god.
I mean, my opinion is remote is still new for them, right?
Of course.
So
yeah.
It makes sense for them to reuse this.
And the thing about remote is that it does... Like, the brand, kind of, just the feel of remote feels very Pokemon Unite branded. I don't know, the purple and the oranges are very vibrant and kind of, like, seen throughout the map, which is a big thing for the game. Like, I don't know, just the general look of the game feels stylized as a remote, where Theosky Ruins feels very different than the overall brand of the game so far, in my opinion, but it kind of...
Yeah, it feels a little different, yeah.
Okay, Gek, I want to talk about moves, because these are very different from our version, like all of this is, but this is very different, and this is something that a lot of people have talked about a bunch, and I think we should too. So honestly, we just need to get on a new screenshot. So let's let's talk about these moves. We're looking at something very interesting. We are looking at Bone Rush Close Combat, which means you choose your move before you go into a match.
Correct.
Okay. So there's that, and also from the looks of this, you also choose your move upgrade before you go into the match. Is that right? You like each move looks like it has two plus versions. Am I right here?
Exactly. We have a plus version for every single ability. So this includes the ultimate.
Oh.
And they seem to be classified as this blue icon or the orange icon.
Right.
So as far as I've translated, The blue icon seem to be more utility based and change a bit more mechanic wise, while the orange ones just make the ability stronger and more damage based. It's one more utility focus and the other one more like damage focus, if that makes sense. Like more aggressive.
Okay. Interesting. So, just for example, for those of you watching right now, we're looking at Bone Rush and Close Combat. We're looking at Lucario's move options. You have to choose, obviously, before the match starts. Now, the move upgrade options, so the blue aura upgrade on Bone Rush, this is according to Google Translate, is a cooldown reduction bonus, which reduces it by 4 seconds. So once you get Bone Rush Plus,
correct,
all of a sudden the cooldown would go down by 4 seconds. The second option, the orange icon, is attack speed increase. After using the move, the attack speed is increased by 70%. Okay, wow. So Lucario punch very fast if you choose that upgrade for Bone Rush. So cooldown reduction or attack speed bonus. Now for close combat, the blue icon is it says reply volume is increased by 100%. I don't know what that means.
On close combat?
Recall?
On no, so on close combat would be so close combat does damage per punch.
Okay.
It just makes you punch twice as more.
Oh, good.
Basically.
Okay.
It's two times more punches.
All right. Well,
double
Google
punch.
Lens failing me there. So you punch 100% more. Neat. And
exactly.
Then the second one is extra punch. Hit an extra punch with extra remaining health damage. All right.
So my version of the translation, I don't know which one is correct, by the way. Okay. We're using different tools, but it's the same thing.
I will tell you this. Mine does not feel correct.
Yeah. My interpretation of what mine said was... It gives you an additional final punch, which has an extra lifesteal onto it.
Oh, like a kind of a, like almost like a scissor bullet punch kind of thing.
Yeah, so yeah, all close combat takes heal you, but the last one will heal you extra, basically.
Okay, cool. Interesting. All right.
Fun fact, this attack speed on Bone Rush might look very unnatural, but that's also because they reworked Lucario's empowered auto attack, which not only does it knock up, it also resets the mark.
Oh, an extreme speed?
Yeah, you can e-speed, auto-attack, 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 e-speed, basically.
Oh my gosh.
that's why this extra attack speed can be very crucial to Lucario.
Wow. But okay, that makes a lot of sense.
I will say 4 seconds looks a bit ridiculous.
Yeah. But... Hold on. We actually have a little gif on Lucario that Gex sent me. So let's watch. Let's watch some Luca gameplay here. This is insane. Watching the footage of it, it's Lucario level 7, so they did not have the plus version of Extreme Speed or Bone Rush. However, you can see it just moves way smoother than in our version of the game. Yeah, that's wild. All right, cool to see.
Yeah, so the main point of this GIF specifically that I sent to you is there's a couple of abilities in the game that have been reworked in a way, not reworked as in they do something completely different, but they had some work on to be smoother. For example, if you look at the last millisecond, basically, of E-Speed, you can see how it can almost already move while still in E-Speed.
Yeah.
That makes it easier to aim the next E-Speed, which I'm sure once the overlords of this world pick this character up, it's going to make a big change. What do you think already is crazy? I think it's going to look crazier now because of how smooth it is. And other mons that have this same feature would be Zoroark with Feint.
Uh-huh.
And we have the other aspect of there's a lot of abilities that kind of stun lock you. Example being Mamoswine Earthquake, Slowbro Scald, Blastoise Hydro Pump, which on the Shinies version are just so smooth. You hydro pump with Blastoise and you can already start walking whilst the animation is ending.
Hmm.
So it's like this quality of lives can make like CC chaining or even just not getting caught, because I see it a lot. Like a Slowbro stops a Scald, stuns itself for 1 second, just gets caught right after, which is very sad to watch, right?
Yes.
So it's a very good quality of life change that I believe they added to the game on multiple mons.
Cool. Yeah, even more quality of life stuff. You were sending us some pictures of, obviously, Gek, is one of these. You can now choose what move you want to upgrade or what move you want to learn first, which is
exactly
very interesting.
Sure. You can go... Look. I don't know why you do that, but
you could
go Bone Rush first and then E-Speed.
Sure.
So
yeah.
you could stay on Quick Attack Bone Rush, for example.
Oh.
But even though you chose that order, you can still reverse it on the plus. So we can learn Bone Rush first and E-Speed second, but get E-Speed plus first and Bone Rush plus a second. Now, on Lucario, it's a very bad example, but right. on some mons, this could be very good.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, sick. I feel like Greninja maybe one of those is. Oh, what the? Okay, I don't know what I was looking at there. Okay, cool. Well, yeah, moves are looking entirely different. That's pretty sweet. At this point, maybe, I mean, we've talked about so many in-game mechanics that have changed, right? That we have exactly. talked about objectives, general gameplay, Pokemon moves, score augments, as you're learning, battle items have changed. Let's talk about something that I'm not entirely positive on, and okay. that's held items. Let's Correct. Discuss held items. Now, Bridget, have you heard anything about these?
No.
Okay. Well, no, that's okay. Most people haven't. We're looking at a screenshot right now. This may come to some of your attention, that this person has 3 Razor Claws in their inventory and 2 Choice Specs. That's because items, as you own them, are all different and provide different effects. So, Gek, talk to us a little bit about what you know of held items in this game.
Okay, so the energy system we have for emblems, in their version, is actually used to gacha for items. The big Ooh. Bad word, the gacha word.
Ooh, okay,
so,
okay.
you use your energy to gacha for items, and all the right. items, all items have 3 stats, basically. These stats have been attributed colors, as you can see. Mm-hmm. And a good example we have on the screen right now, Sorry. It's the choice specs with 3 different colors, but then you have choice specs with orange, purple, purple. I don't know what the colors assess to. I know the green one is HP. I know that the red one is like damage. But basically, what does this mean? Okay, so the biggest example that would be very practical is, let's say I'm playing Gengar.
Uh-huh.
And I want to go fast. Well, right. Flowstone is kind of a troll because it gives attack damage, right?
Okay.
But now I can have a Flowstone with cooldown reduction, special attack, and I don't know, something else. I've seen scoring speed on these, by the way.
What?
So
okay.
Yeah. So but I've also seen HP regen, something else. So point being, the items now are just passives.
Okay, right? Got it. Yes.
It doesn't have the base stats, because the stats are based on what you get on the gacha, right?
Mm-hmm.
The way to obtain them is kind of suboptimal.
Of course.
Yes. I do think the idea is very good, because I can have a rescue hood. For example, a rescue hood is not the best item. Yeah, this is also what you just brought up is actually very good. The item stats scale based on level.
Well, good. So your you item actually gives different items stats as well.
No, this is your level in game.
No,
this is your level in game. Okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
So as the game progresses, your item gets stronger with you. So it's like the items are not a big chunk of HP at the start, and everyone just tank you from the start. It actually scales with you while you're playing the game.
Okay. And got it. So, when you say gacha for items, that, of course, is a big scary word for a lot of people, but the items don't actually give you different amounts of stat based on how rare they are. They give you different kinds of stats based on which ones you roll out of the gacha.
It's like, I don't know, I haven't played, but I know a lot of people have played MMOs. You have the same item, you have to reroll for the stats on that item.
Okay, yeah.
It feels more like that than, oh, I got lucky, I got a best in slot item, and you didn't.
Right?
We all have items.
It's very like Genshin.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, let's bring this up now then. So, this is a new menu that they have. There's a trading post in-game for items, for emblems. I guess if you got a scope lens that's all attack damage and you really wanted a special attack version of scope lens, you could put it up for trade and see if anybody's looking to swap.
There's a Glacian enthusiast looking for a special attack scope lens.
Get him out of the market. But yeah, that's interesting. Now, one interesting thing, we talked about the colors, Gek, about how we don't know. I will say these two are purple. So maybe the color isn't always the same stat? Like, it's just similar?
Oh, no. So, for example, in green, you'd have ill per second, like health regen.
Yeah.
And I haven't translated, but I would assume anything related to HP.
Okay. What we're looking at with this Twisted Spoon on screen is two purple stats and one green stat. The purple stat, the first one is, it's like a zigzag shape that says it's hindrance resistance. The purple shield is special defense. And the green arm with the plus on it is recover stamina or health every 5 seconds. So health recovery item. I'm assuming it's going to be the still well outside of battle. Okay, I don't hate the gacha element near as much as I thought I would.
This looks very good for Slowbro instead of just special attack, for example.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, now, so this is what is in the Chinese version of the game. What we have to talk about, though, is if this version, if we ever get this version, essentially, is what I'm saying. If Pokemon Unite Global ever merges with the China version, this, even if it's cool and I like the concept of this, because I actually do now that we kind of explained it a bit more, people are going to be kind of mad who spent a lot of, like, if they spent money on item enhancers, right, to, like, upgrade all their stuff, they spent time, you know, upgrading all their items to level 30 and everything, that's a pretty big change.
No one's going to be more mad than the people playing this game the most
and
having to play the same game for 2 years. Which comes to the argument of, like, nothing or everything.
Okay,
right?
That is true. If it's nothing or everything, okay, this doesn't outweigh it to the nothing. Okay, fair enough.
I think the mechanic and the idea, because it makes it very nuanced, right? Because, I mean, this is probably going to be hell for the casters, but probably you guys wouldn't even mention it. You guys probably wouldn't even mention it. But for example, I run my spoon with this stats on this mon. But then, let's say, Brav runs the same item, but with different stats. Who's right? What's better? Is it situational? Do we need to have one perfect copy of every item for any scenario? It's like, it brings a lot of nuance to the game, which it's always good, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
The way of obtaining them is like, well, in competitive, do we just get to choose from everything, right?
Yeah.
Or do we actually have to fucking farm them outside the game?
Well,
no.
I have a feeling. Well, that being said, the tournament mode's been pretty generous before. Like, the tournament mode in game right now gives you all licenses and everything. Emblems are weird, outstanding. Interesting point about how each item gives you 3 different stat bonuses. Clearly, those combine. So, this Charizard, who seems to be highlighted right now on screen, has a Razor Claw and a Focus Band equipped. The Focus Band has all 3 green colors highlighted on the quick preview, and 2 orange and 1 green on the Razor Claw. Well, actually, that doesn't make any sense, because on the right-hand side, then it's showing 4 stats, 2 of which are not color-coordinated. So I'm not really exactly sure what we're looking at there. But either way, you still get 3 held items, each of which increase 3 different stats. So, all right. Okay, I mean, all right, Bridget, I gotta get your opinion on this.
Customization, basically.
So much. Bridget, I gotta get your opinion on this. Held items, gacha to obtain in terms of stat increase. Stats aren't bulk stats anymore. They scale as the game goes on. How do you feel about this?
I'm super down for this.
Yeah, I am too. This is sick.
I know people... Personally, I have a lot of energy rewards if they put them in that gacha system. Just be like, haha, sorry, and give me like a billion energy rewards. And I'll gamble them all and
that
get all
feels
the
like a fair way to do it, right? It's like for every, I don't know, if they have like a level 30 item, they give you X amount of energy rewards and so on and so forth. So if it's like if you had a level 25 version of this item, they give you this many energy rewards. And I think that would be a pretty safe respect. Isn't it similar to emblems? I have a question for chat. Actually, yes. However, emblems are different in this game, which we don't exactly know how yet. So that we haven't gone too deep on emblems in this
game. Actually feel like it's emblems done right.
Yeah, I totally agree. It is emblems done right, Gek. That is,
it's less complex
true.
And put it on a platform we already used to, which is the items.
And none give.
We know
negative.
The items do, and now we choose the stats. Basically.
Right, and there's no negative stats, which is an insane decision they made with emblems. So
yeah, literally.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Cool. Yeah, I went into that subject being like, ugh, the gacha part. And now I'm like walking away from this conversation pretty positive about that change. That's cool. Okay, we're getting up there on time. We got lots to talk about, so we'll keep going as long as you two want to. Gek, let's move on now. I think we've talked about a lot of the in-game systems basically to the point where I think we can discuss them on the show. So let's talk a little bit about Pokemon. Any changes to any Pokemon that you specifically are excited about, interested in, that like have piqued your interest?
So clearly, I think Kreese has made a tweet about it. You guys made the video. It's the Wigglytuff rollout.
Uh-huh, yes.
It's insane.
It's bananas.
Right?
Uh-huh.
The rollout, the Dazzling Gleam, such quality of life.
Huge.
Which makes me completely jealous. Which, mm-hmm. not because I like it, just because, and now it's my crying time, get crying time, uh-huh. which is, look how willing the same developers are to make so many different maps, so many different small quality of life changes that we could have gotten for so much time now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, nah, look at us doing it for China. And we can't even make you control your own rollout. You guys can starve. You guys can starve in there.
Why they make the bangles?
Because they went completely past the reasonable.
Yeah.
Because something we haven't mentioned, it's like, you can go on Sherry's YouTube channel and see the bare amount of minigames they have with dedicated maps, completely fresh maps. So, it's not like reused Shiver City or reused Remote Stadium. No. It's brand new maps made from scratch, abilities working completely different, which is the example of rollout, or they just taking that, you know, that delay on Earthquake on Mamoswine, just taking that away makes the game, you look at the competitive, it's being first picked. Mm-hmm. The Mamoswine is being first picked, right?
Yeah.
Because of how good that makes him. But like, such a small change would make a Pokemon so much more enjoyable, and everything that we've asked or thought of is there. Basically.
It is, yeah.
And more.
Uh-huh. That's true. I mean, it's their land of experimentation right now, right? They get to slap the word beta phase on it, and they get to try whatever they want, and clearly they are having fun, and there is, again, very clearly, there are big resources going into this version of the game. Yeah. I mean, points at everything. The hour-long podcast we've had talking about all the changes. So, Wigglytuff's a big one for you that you were really excited about. I know Spraggles was talking a lot about Machamp on his video because Dynamic Punch, you like leap into the moon and hit the ground, was very interesting. I actually was wondering, and I don't know, probably a no, but if Machamp's Dynamic Punch, because he gets like a vertical hitbox, if he could hit a balloon target, that would be insane. I don't know if that's how it works. Three-dimensional Pokemon Unite, probably a bit too much. But
thing is, balloon makes you immune to Indrases, so probably it would do the damage and it would just fly away still.
Joy ended, but still would be cool. one Pokemon that I think I was getting pretty excited about, which one was it now? I'm trying to remember. There was quite a few. We were talking about Gardevoir's Unite move. Its plus move makes the Gardevoir Unite huge. Gek, you were sending me
it's a 20% more radius, so yeah, that's quite
bigger
a bit.
Gardevoir Unite, it's sick. It like, covers the entirety of the ray circle. It's insane. The level patterns, by the way. Yeah, you were sending them to me.
Exactly.
Most...
I have some. They're completely wild because they're not consistent.
No, not at all. They exactly. are not consistent at all. Pikachu gets, like, don't they, like, get their first move at 2 or something? And they're Unite at 6?
So, for example, it's weird because, for example, both Pikachu and Inteleon, which are both, like, attacker mage style, completely different. So Pikachu gets their first move at level 2.
Okay.
Second move at level 3.
Wow.
While Inteleon gets the first move at level 3. So Pikachu is rocking Volt Tackle E-Ball while our Inteleon just got Felstinger. Right?
Or Snipe Shot, because you could choose. Because you could choose in this
right,
version.
Right, exactly. You're right. So you could level 3 Snipe Shot.
Oh,
so
okay.
Your Pikachu walking, walking into lane and you just get Snipe Shot.
Oh,
and for example, just to make it even worse, just to make people more panic, you can start the game with an augment, with a power-up, right? The 0-point power-up that reads start the game level 4. So this Pikachu can start level 4. And another thing is Pikachu gets Unite at level 5.
Yeah, so again, we don't exactly know what influences your choice of three upgrades per score tier, but you're right, Gek, one of them that some Pokemon get sometimes is start the game at level 4. Again, we think it might be tied to your emblem loadout. We don't exactly know. It is interesting, but yeah, that is an insane upgrade. But some of the early upgrades, though, could be other, like, I mean, I'm probably choosing the start of level 4 one every time, but there is, like, do more damage to wild Pokemon, or, like, your first move does, like, extra damage or whatever on a cooldown, that kind of thing. So,
what I've seen on the early ones is XP-related stuff.
Right,
so
a lot of XP.
It's usually start level 4 off bat, or every wild Pokemon throughout the game gives you double XP.
Oh!
So, you can start level 4, or you can just scale to 15 faster, right?
Okay.
It's like, do I want early game, do I want late game type thing, right?
Okay, I like
that. But, for example, Pikachu, bro, I'm starting level 4, farming a little bit, get level 5, and put that ults going. Just keep uniting. Unite, unite, unite.
Yeah.
A cool fun fact that you can't farm Unite. It has a set cooldown. Killing wild Pokemon doesn't make your cooldown shorter. So it's actually a set cooldown. It seems to have less farm on the map as well. Maybe that's why they chose to do it. There's less farm, more objectives.
Yeah, that would,
even
I would
when
say
you...
that, yeah. There is Vespiquen and Bee spawns in the middle of the map sometimes that like makes it a bit, I don't know, bulky amounts of farm, but...
As of breaking of T1s, it doesn't spawn the three Odinos or two Odinos in the back. It actually
really?
Only spawns one. It actually only spawns one. And it and the farm in the middle of the lane keeps spawning. So people would have to contest that even if you don't have a pad.
Oh,
so
wow.
This game forces you to interact with the opponent a lot more.
Yeah.
There's no dead times.
Right? Like, it's shoving you towards the objective. If you ignore the objectives,
right,
you lose the game. I think that is... But they do a good job of giving you lots of objectives to focus on. So it's not like, I don't think your team feels forced to, all right, well, if my team's not showing up here, we lose. Like, all right, well, they're going there, so I guess we focus on that one. And you can allow to rotate. We go to the Rotom. We go to this Rotom. Do we want to fight over the Regidrago, or do we want to try to push this Rotom and score with it? Who knows? Like, there's options, which is cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
And the level of pattern also makes the game so much faster, right? Because
right,
you have a 5v5s happening as soon as minute one, right?
Uh-huh.
So you need your moves. So
that's
you have,
why they increase the speed of leveling and earning your moves. Got
you
it.
Have Unites at level 7. You have Unites, but the common ones, right? You have Inteleon getting Unite at level 7. You have Lucario getting Unite at level 7.
Okay.
And then they get their plus ability at level 9 and 11. It's like... Mm-hmm. So you're going, like, this plus abilities that you're choosing before the game, you're actually getting them going very early onto the match.
Yeah.
So you're actually playing with the customization you just picked. Because we have customization on the power-ups, customization on the moves, customization on the pluses. So a lot of customization per game, which usually tends to help with replayability of the video game.
That's interesting.
And,
because basically you're hitting your plus moves more consistently at the midway point of a match. You're like, because you're hitting like maybe a 5 minutes, so you get to play with your plus moves a lot more. Where in our version of the game, oftentimes you're hitting 13 and you have one more fight and the game's over. So
well,
like
my biggest
you're
pet
playing
peeve,
with your plus move once, and that's kind of it.
My biggest pet peeve with Unite is that I've played how many games of Slowbro in competitive, I've yet to eat Telekinesis Plus. Which is the most fun, which is the most fun plus of any defender, in my opinion.
Okay,
right?
Okay,
it's,
I like it.
It's But in this version, everyone gets 15. You've seen the games. Everyone gets 13, 15. Everyone gets to that ballpark, right? Everyone gets to play their actual Pokemon with the maximum extent of what the Pokemon is.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing worth touching on, the game has a... Okay, it's either or. Either everyone's tankier or everyone's doing less damage. I have yet to see someone just get outright one-shot.
Okay, interesting.
I never see it. There's more There's damage on the power-ups. There's damage here, damage there, earlier levels. We say Snipeshot level 3, scary. But I've yet to see someone get one-shot in this game. I don't know what they actually did, because I don't do numbers, and I actually don't have access to the numbers. But I don't see people get one-shot. I see Zoroarks have to land two full combos on a mage to actually kill them.
Interesting.
Right?
Okay.
So I like that a lot as well. Because... We're currently, like, the current meta of our game, a Slowbro will get one shot like it's nothing.
Yeah.
For
literally.
Example. If you play against a Gardevoir, something like Espeon, Chandelure, the tanks will die very fast. In this game, I have yet to see people get one shot, which I'm a tank player, so I love it. Right. So, I just love it.
So either, yeah, I like that. So we don't know for sure, but either everyone is either bulkier or does less damage. I have to imagine it's the bulkier side, just with all the stats getting added into the mix.
Well, the health bar doesn't look bigger, which is why it makes me think. Why it makes me think it's just less damage overall. Yeah.
That makes sense. Is it just less damage earlier too? Because items scale now. It's not like they're giving you a big chunk at the start anymore.
So a very funny example I've seen is I've seen Slowbro ult to do a total of like 200 damage.
Okay, yeah.
They took damage away from things that don't need to do damage, for example. I see.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, so... And I've seen Zorax land two full combos at level 15 and not kill attacker.
Yeesh. Okay.
But they also don't die fast on the bounce back. Okay. So it's just you have more rotations of spells each fight, making fights more like content heavy, I guess. There's more things happening within the team fight.
I like that. Okay, so leveling patterns obviously insanely different. Bridget, you're a support main. Now you can't choose Hoopa because of reasons we'll get to in a moment. But what is one support Pokemon that you're like, oh, if I could hit my levels and moves way faster, I'd have way more fun with?
Ooh, I mean
Wiggly's a good one already.
Yeah, but... definitely. I know. I actually was thinking like Surf Plus on Slowbro, which really isn't that hard to hit, but getting it earlier is so much fun.
And you'd have two different versions of Plus, whichever they may be. So who knows
exactly
what the two versions are.
Another wave stun, yeah.
Oh, so
a fun one to bring up is Eldegoss Leaf Tornado knocks up.
Yes! That's sweet!
Oh, and that would be awesome.
Okay.
And the ult Plus on Eldegoss makes everyone knock up as
well. Wow, a lot of boosts.
I forgot
on
about
Eldegoss.
The ult.
Okay. Yeah.
So, did we ever answer the question, Gek? Do the ultimates, they only have one plus, right? They don't have...
No, they have two. They have two.
They also have two? You exactly. choose a plus on your Unite? That's crazy.
Exactly. They have two. And some characters I've seen get to pick the Unite move plus as early as level 13. So, you actually get to play with it for a bit.
Okay.
Depending on how the game lasts. Because I've seen games last 7 minutes, and I've seen games last 17 minutes.
Right.
So,
okay. Wow. Interesting.
That's also a thing.
Okay, Bridget, though, to answer your question, a support you'd be excited to try if you could blitz their levels. Is it just Slowbro?
I mean, all of them, obviously. I don't know. Sableye, what the heck is he, what's he doing?
That's true.
Yeah, Sableye might be a fun one. They can go crazy on the pluses.
Yeah. Plus, scoring's a good look in this game, so I'm sure you could try to leverage that. That seems very cool. Okay, sweet. All right, we definitely are running over. We're running some overtime. So, Gek, let's hit quality of life changes. I know you wanted to talk about a few of those. So, what are just some big quality of life changes this game has done to get you excited about, I don't know, seeing more of this game or hoping that we get some version of this game?
I'm going to hit them very fast. Okay. So, the biggest one, which I think is temporary, unfortunately, but a lot of people will love it. There's no EX Pokemon.
Uh-huh.
That's very good. But then the lobby looks completely different. You have the overworld where you can walk around, see your friends online, the whole thing. Even once you go to the menus, everything, I mean, it's on phone and it's a new version. So, of course, it's smoother. But they look better. The ranks look better. Mm-hmm. It looks more like a typical MOBA system, bronze, silver, gold, and so forth. It does still end up at master. You have the mastery levels look better than the badges we currently have. It goes from a level 1 to 7. Okay. On the screen you can see some of them on the top left. I think looks much better than the ribbons, but that's my personal taste. You also have a lot of mini games. You have mini games that last as long as 1 minute and 20 seconds. It's perfect to pick up on the train, play one game, go back to work or something. You can also play, when you play the game on standard instead of ranked, it only goes up to 300 points, just so you can play even faster.
Whoa, that's a huge change. Interesting.
So if you're running on the train, you have a short bus ride, or even if you're working from home and you have just 3 minutes, or, hey, God forbid you go to the bathroom, you just want to play one game while in the toilet, I don't know.
Sure. Who am I to say?
A very controversial one would be, there's actually in-game chat.
Oh, yeah.
So
that is one change I do not believe will be coming to the global version.
Yeah, we'll exactly. We'll but there is in-game chat, which, can be very hit or miss. I'm sure some people are going to love it for the wrong reasons. So that tells you that tells you enough. Also, there's some idle minigames, which you can also check on Sherry's YouTube channel, which you can just queue up. And while you're in queue, you can just go hoop a bit. Like, just throw some hoops, like basketball. You can do some archery. You can do a lot of things. Yeah, you can do a lot of things. Yeah, you can do a lot of mini games while in queue for mini games. So it's like,
and Bridget,
it's a weird exception.
Like, you're your avatar. You're not a Pokemon. Like, it's in the open world. You as your avatar walk over to, like, little arcade hoops games or, like, archery shooting.
Exactly.
It's so funny.
Dude, I want, like, the open world Bobby so bad.
Yeah. Dextro saying in chat that the Switch can't handle it. I mean, Switch 2, maybe. Hey. Hopium.
Splatoon this is the ranked... basically does that.
That's true. This is the ranked
Splatoon,
queue, by the way.
It.
Very cool.
Looks very cool.
Very cool.
People, the stance we choose for a trainer card actually plays a role there, so we can actually remind them what the trainer card we did is actually worth updating.
Oh, sweet.
And then, to touch a little bit more on the roster, EXs are not the only Pokemons missing. I know some mythical mons are missing, Mew and Oopa being the biggest outliers. Confy, Blaziken, Aegislash are also missing.
Oh, interesting.
So I don't know why some mons are missing. Maybe they're still working on their plus abilities or something. Because how the hell do you give Blaziken a ult plus?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That is fair.
How do you do Oopa Unite plus? Right.
There's two Hoopa Unbound.
Yeah, you have the Confy is also a bit weird. It's like some of these mons have weird interactions with other plus abilities.
With like the in-game mechanic. Yeah, that is interesting.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's the common thing I've seen within those Pokemon. And the EX mons are just not there, which I think everyone likes it, so I'm not going to complain about that one.
Yeah.
And something that Zoinks has mentioned in my DMs that he likes a lot, that we actually didn't mention at all, is a small little Magnemite at the entry of the base.
Oh, yeah. Hold on, see if I have a picture of that.
Once we lose our tier one, we have this small little dude. There's a Magnemite holding a camera, which basically gives you vision of your whole side of the map.
Whoa.
Which basically answers the question that some people might have. Well, if the game's about scoring, why don't we just run score comp? Well, because you're ignoring objectives, and I'm just going to run you down with two Rotoms, three Rotoms, or two Rotoms and one Regieleki. And because we actually have something that works like a ward, gives a total vision of our side of the map, to warn us about those backups. Because you can only win by scoring our main goal, and we have this thing giving vision of our whole side of the map. So we can actually recall in time to stop you.
Yeah, wow. It spawns it where Zatu does, by the way. This is a picture. It only gives one AOS energy. It's very funny. We have somebody running it down against them here. You can see on screen. And then Yaki also sent this screenshot. This like outer red ring is everything that the vision covers. So it covers all the way to the outside of your tier two, basically. And if you want to take a look at the mini map, that little eyeball icon on your mini map means that your Magnemite is still up and it is giving you vision. The thing you told me, Gek, that I thought was crazy is that Magnemite reveals Sableye.
Yes.
So Invis Pokemon get revealed by this ward, which is,
well, if you're playing Sableye, you need to tell your team, let's go kill this Magnemite.
Right, yeah. That's objective number one.
I can't play the video game.
Yeah, Toopsnacks hates that change, but I mean,
if you murder the Magnemite, it's gone the rest of the game.
I don't know. 1 minute. It's a 1 minute timer.
Okay.
I mean, that makes. But that's cool though. Like, if you break it, all of a sudden they lose vision. Like, that's a fun little mini objective.
Something. Because we don't have enough things to fight for, right? So
get another objective in there.
Yeah, they just keep giving us things for teams to fight for.
That's crazy. Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. And basically, it's another thing of, for example, if the Zapdos pushing, you can see exactly how many people are pushing with it because of the Magnemite, right?
Okay.
So it's another thing that adds more depth into the game, so I pretty much like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, You mentioned it. I really do think it's a super cool change. I'm a big fan of it. It's AoE that it covers is huge, by the way. It covers your entire jungle, basically, and your outer two twos, which I think is pretty sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Any other quality of life stuff you were saying?
Well, there's only two things I think I haven't mentioned that I remember off the top of my head.
Uh-huh.
Is Unite moves don't give the Unite buff, like that shield and that speed that doesn't give it. Unite is just a Unite.
Got it. Just a move.
Basically. Cool. And whatever the plus version does. And how funny the jump pads are in this game.
Oh, yeah.
So
we haven't talked about the jump pads at all. That's right. So
the jump pads from base sends you to the middle of your jungle, always.
Always to the middle of the jungle. Okay.
That's why if you guys are going to broadcast more games of the tournament, you're going to see they never take the base jump pad, right? It's because it only sends them to the middle of their jungle, never into their jump pads.
Okay.
And then you have one at the edges where our objectives usually are. So where our Regilek is and where our bot Regi are, it's, you take the jump pad all the way to the other side of the map, basically.
Yeah.
You can rotate from bot to top very fast. And even the jump pads in our jungle send you to a different place. They don't send you to the L bush right in front like ours do. It actually sends you across. So if you take the jump pad on the bottom left of your map, it is a jump pads you into the top right of Zapdos. If that makes sense.
Okay.
It does like an X.
Like an X pattern
to where you go. Yeah.
That's very, very interesting. Okay. Cool.
And I can see that some of the Chinese players are very used to it already, because maybe this is something for you guys to pay attention next time you look at some gameplay.
Uh-huh.
They get off that pad fighting. Like they're ready.
They're hitting their moves as soon as they land.
Yeah, they have an idea of where they're landing.
Okay.
And they have their... Because I've seen a Snorlax, like, seamlessly, right after he lands, heavy slam hit three people.
Oh, wow.
They're so used to it, basically.
Right, that makes sense. I
Which
mean,
is very
just
funny.
Sending you into enemy territory, that makes a lot of sense. Like you wanted to airdrop in with the balloons. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Sweet. What else was on your list, Gek, that you wanted to hit? Or is that it?
This is pretty much it. I have some examples, but I could stay here forever seeing examples of like what the plus moves do. But basically, the biggest take out of all of things, I'm just basically going to repeat what I said at the beginning. Games are faster, less one-shotty, more, even though they look more brainless, because like objective spawn, do it. Well, actually, no, because objectives don't mean win, right?
Right.
Right now, it's like we get bot Regi, we have more XP, we're more likely to win. Because, for example, I think it was First Worlds. That the team that got the first dread at like 80% win ratio or something like that.
It was a little absurd. Uh-huh.
So if we want to talk about brainless, I think our game has been pretty brainless, to be honest. And this one having so many... You have to choose, right? Because the Rotom spawn at the same time. Then the objective meat spawns right after. Mm-hmm. And then if you take too long there... another. So there's a lot of decision making and... the comms are going to be messy as hell.
Oh, yeah.
I can already imagine.
It's
like,
oh,
are we
sure.
fighting Rotom? Which one? Bot, top? Like, I don't know.
Which one?
Right?
Top
and
Rotom,
so,
bot Rotom. Yeah, it's
going to
be
I think
it's
going to... Everything from the items to the power-ups to which objective to fight for, do we push it, do we not push it, is actually going for the score worth it? Are we going to get a power-up? It has so many layers of depthness to the game. I just can't say it here. After playing the same game for 2 years and say it's a bad thing. Personally, I take everything with open arms. Actually, not one of the changes, I say it's bad.
Yeah.
Besides the way you obtain items.
Yeah, that's the only and thing even I'm... then, it's not as bad as I expected. But yeah, I see what you mean.
It's more, they gave us a fix for the problem they created. It's like, we can trade emblems and we can trade items. Well... We do only need to trade them because you make us gacha for it, right?
Literally.
So you give a solution for a problem you created. Sure, thank you, I guess.
There you go.
But
that's China thinking. Perfect. I like it.
Yeah, but basically, I personally like everything.
Okay.
Like I think you've been What about your opinion broadcasting it? How did the game feel as a caster, for example?
So I definitely went into it with that same mentality that you were just mentioning that a lot of people have of like, oh boy, okay, they're just literally running everywhere, blah, blah, blah. But as I was casting some of the games, and especially, I will say, as we started spectating more and more teams who made it farther in the tournament, you could see like what teams were starting to like, it was starting to click a little bit. I was like, oh, I like get it. Like they are, I don't know, the objective gameplay made a lot of sense. The Unites being at a set cooldown is very interesting and does change the game a lot in terms of like, when do you take fight? Basically just, you can take more fights more consistently.
It completely destroys our notion of Unite timers as well, right?
It
We're
does,
so used
yeah.
to ult at the first objective, then ult at the next objective,
exactly.
then ult at the next objective. And here's like, well, two of them ulted, but two of them saved it because the next objective is spawning in 20 seconds.
Right, and that's exactly what I was going to say. It also like blows it up because, well, there's just more objectives. So which one do you choose to use that is very, very interesting. So I don't know, I think just without the sheer number of objectives they've put into the game, I would be like, okay, I'm not like, I don't know, it's fine, it's new, sure, but like just with that many objectives, I'm like, no, it's very creative. I think teams that are like, it's gonna favor coordination way more, which is one of my favorite things to cast about a game. It's like when I can see a team is really communicating well and like comboing really well, so, and doing team fights really well, so it's hitting all those buttons, so I'm very, very excited about it. From a competitive landscape, if I get to cast some China games, I guess, I'm really hoping. but obviously, I'll be trying to do that more on the YouTube channel, but so far, I've been really enjoying it. I'm with you. I'm begging for just the whole takeover. Just push this version global. Just do it. It's so cool. And
just
then get rid of the EX Pokemon. And
yes.
you're gonna get flamed on Twitter from all the people who bought the Pokemon. I know. It's gonna happen, but just... is what it is. But maybe if they get this dev team, they can balance them. Who knows? Bridget, how about you? Overall thoughts on this different version of our game that we may or may not get?
Yeah, it really feels hard to be mad about almost any of this. Like, obviously, gotcha asterisk aside, but...
I think there's that one. There's maybe the timer... not being 10 minutes restricted anymore. Like, some people have talked about that as a negative.
Yeah.
I don't personally, but I think it is, like, it is one of the talking points that circulates of people saying, I don't like this about the new version. But anyway, sorry,
it
continue.
It does feel like a big appeal of the game is, like, oh, it's only ever going to be 10 minutes, like, tops. And people already kind of freaked out when we added in draft, and that added, you know.
Right.
Three more minutes, and people were like, oh my god, I can't do this. So,
Well, standard only goes to 300 points, so that's a great spot to be. Push them in there. But yeah.
Literally. No, but I'm super into all of this, and I do think, even just, like, talking about it and, like, knowing what I do, like, what limited information I have looked into it about, it seems great. Like, I feel like I would actually enjoy, like, playing it as well. So.
Yeah. Agreed.
I hope we do get all of it, or at least some aspects of this, because I don't think EX Pokemon are going anywhere.
Yeah. That's, like, the biggest... That is the outlier that I'm like, they're never getting rid of Mewtwo. Like, that's just what I think about this game and its money-making model. They're just not getting rid of that, so... I don't know. I hope there's some way we can bridge it. I think if there's if there's one way, I mean, I want the 500 point mode yesterday. I think that game mode is so cool.
Yeah.
I hope that comes over. A lot of the Pokemon reworks are so interesting, and I would love that. If the old items stayed the same, if that's what we had to sacrifice to get some of that new stuff, if that stayed on the cutting room floor, fine. But yeah. Anyway, okay, well, if you're watching on YouTube, we desperately want to know what you think of this new version. Thank you so much for staying to the end of the video and listening to us ramble about a game in a different country. But if you want some of these aspects, please let us know down below in the comments. I'm really interested to see what some of you think. But before we get out of here, let's do some plugs, shout-outs, sellouts, all that kind of stuff. Gek, you're our guest. Anything you want to shout out, you know, free shout-outs, stage is all yours.
Yeah, I'm GekkoKami on Twitter and Twitch. Mm-hmm. I haven't been streaming much because I've been going through, like, moving.
Gotcha.
And while moving, my graphic card suffered a big bump, which
Ooh.
If I pull anything, if I make my PC do anything that's remotely like demanding, it's gonna go boom. It just goes blue screen. So I haven't been streaming because of that.
Got it.
But I'm gonna be streaming soon, as I'm gonna get a graphic card, I think at the middle of this month somewhere.
Awesome.
So about so I should be starting streaming soon. I'm gonna plan to do some. I doubt I'm gonna do solo queue, so probably duo queue.
Okay.
Yeah, duo
Be
queue or
honest with
trio
yourself.
queue. Yeah, some duo queue or some five stacks maybe.
Cool. Yeah, get Luca in
I
some duo queue. Get him in
exactly.
there.
Luca,
Cool.
just give me trick. Give me trick. We go M.
Let's go.
I might stream some duo queue. I'm thinking about streaming Worlds.
Sweet, like a watch party? That'd be so sick.
Doing a watch party. Actually, this I don't know if I should be announcing this because I don't know how true it might be, but I do have a possible time to shine team meeting to watch Worlds together. As in, the team members are gonna fly over here, and maybe I have to talk with them if they're comfortable with this.
Holy.
I actually just came up with this as we're talking, by the way,
Oh,
because
okay. God.
I know they're coming to Portugal, so we watch Worlds together. Would be some it would be Luca, Shelvin, and Eberling, the original roster. And we're gonna watch our the last team member, the fifth, hopefully win Worlds, which
There
is
we go.
Saryu. Hopefully wins Worlds. If someone wins Worlds from Europe, I would rather be me than him, but I would still cheer for him. I'll still cheer for him. And yeah, so I will be streaming on Twitch soon, hopefully. I'm gonna be around for next season. No one's getting rid of me, so expect that
Let's
next season.
go.
And
Awesome.
hopefully there's no need to do a watch party next year. That's about all the
Hey,
shoutouts.
let's go. Let's
All the
go.
shoutouts I'm
No.
saying.
Dude, if there is a time to shine watch party, I'm so pumped. I'm tuning into that.
Yeah,
Okay,
from
sick.
the yeah.
That'd be so
Let's
fun.
go.
Before we jump into Bridget's shoutouts, Gek, I think you said you wanted to shout out a couple of places where people could watch
Oh,
some of
correct.
this footage of the China gameplay. Go ahead and drop those now.
Okay, so maybe go on to Bridget while I pull up the links.
Okay, perfect.
Actually.
All right, Bridget, go ahead.
Bold of you to think I have plugs.
I'll hit some if you don't. But go for you now.
I know we talked about it at the beginning of the show, but I'm really excited to learn about the group's world stages, or groups like world. My words are not wordsing. You guys know what I'm talking about. The world group
Yes.
decision making stream. I don't know. It'll be on the official Unite YouTube. I'm assuming it'll be on
Yes.
Twitch too. And then
I
hopefully
think
someone
it's
does a
just on YouTube
reaction.
because
Oh,
I
it's
think
just
it's a
YouTube.
premiere. It's like a YouTube premiere.
Right.
So I think it'll
Oh, right.
just
It's
be
like
there.
pre-recorded. Okay, YouTube. But probably Zwinks on Twitch.
Maybe.
Watching
That's a
it.
huge maybe. I mean, it's
Dang
literally like if I can
it.
get around work somehow, but we'll see.
Yeah,
But
real.
yeah, check it out. That'd be sweet. Are you gonna do any IRL streaming at GoFest?
No.
All right, fair enough. Okay, other shout-outs for Unite Mike's channel. I already told everybody to comment on the YouTube thing. But remember, Unite Mike's Mayhem is upcoming very, very soon. Later this week. Gek, just send me those links. I'll put them in.
Oh, okay.
We will be streaming a bunch of games. It's starting July 10th and then running for 4 weeks. If you don't know what Unite Mike's Mayhem is, it is an invitation tournament that we run on the channel. We did a sponsorship earlier this year that's basically funding the whole thing. So thank you so much for your all support earlier on in the year. But we're going to be inviting a bunch of top NA and maybe some LATAM teams to be competing in the event. Basically, it's 3 weeks of qualifiers, four teams, single elim. So quick, easy matches, very fight night kind of format. They go down on our Twitch channel right here where you're watching, and there if you win the $100 cash prize, and you're invited to the finals night, where Nemesis is waiting because that team won the last season of Unite Mike's Mayhem. So tune in, watch the games, all starting Wednesday, July 10th. It's gonna be very, very fun. I hope to see you there. But all right, Gek, we got some links from you, so
Yeah,
let's drop them.
so first one is Scrobot, which they did a video. They did some videos about the Chinese version on the earlier beta.
Okay.
And you have Sherry currently, which I think is the only channel on YouTube that is consistently uploading some new videos. They stream every so often. I catch most of the streams. They also upload. They're uploading gameplay of every single mini game, standard game. They have some ranked gameplay. They translate sometimes.
Awesome.
Sometimes they have translation on the screen, or they even explain it on the video. Or so, when it comes to English speaking and actually having some translations, that's the place to go. And
Cool.
then you can also just adventure in Bilibili and try to find the streams and the videos that are over there.
Not the easiest thing to do in the world. Take it from me,
Correct.
who struggled through making an account and trying to figure that out, but eventually we did it. So yeah, Bilibili, the spot to be. I don't know how long this beta lasts, by the way. I'm not sure if you know,
I'm
Gek.
not sure.
But it's been going for at least a couple of weeks now, so I can't imagine it's going to be going for too long. But yeah, I think that'll be closing up our show now. Obviously, we all talked about how much we really want this version of the game to hit global. I think it'd be so cool. I know a lot of other content creators like Spraggles and Chris in the space have all talked about how it'd be really positive for the game. And I think we all agree, and then some. So, without further ado, we're going to be ending on the show. Reminder, next week on the Overdunk Podcast, we'll be talking about the group draw and watching the groups from Worlds. It's going to be very exciting. So we'll see you all next time. And thank you so much for joining us, Gek. Bye-bye.